WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and new details about the Maryland man mistakenly deported to an El Salvador detention center by the Trump administration.
On arrival at Washington Dulles Airport, Senator Chris Van Hollen said Kilmer Abrego Garcia has been shut off from the outside world.
They haven't told him anything about why he was sent.
Van Hollen says he asked El Salvador's vice president if that country had any reason to imprison him.
Why is he here? Because the Trump administration is paying us to keep him here.
The Maryland Democrats said to create a softer image, Salvadoran officials initially wanted the meeting to take place poolside. He says margaritas were placed in front of them, but that neither he nor Abrego Garcia took the drinks. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration's efforts to lay off 1,400 workers at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That case likely to be appealed. And investigators still searching for a motive in yesterday's deadly shooting at Florida State University. Police say the suspect is not talking. A vigil there beginning this hour. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers to focus on the road ahead to keep Adopt a Highway volunteers safe. Wisconsin DOT initiated the Adopt a Highway program in 1991 to allow groups to volunteer and directly support the state's anti-litter program. These volunteers routinely collect trash and recyclables along Wisconsin roads. In 2024, Wisconsin Adopt a Highway groups collected more than 170 tons of trash and recyclables. Nearly 5,500 volunteer hours were reported last year to help pick up trash. Wisconsin DOT encourages more people to get involved. An interactive map shows highway segments maintained by Wisconsin's 3,000 Adopt-a-Highway groups, but more than 2,700 miles of state highway are still available for adoption. Adopt-a-Highway workers are asked to clean up their assigned 2-mile state highway segment at least 3 times per year. All volunteers must be at least 11 years of age or in the 6th grade on 2-lane highways and 16 years of age on 4-lane highways. No other person should be on the work site. Each group must provide one adult supervisor for every 5 or 6 volunteers. Automated forms on the Adopt a Highway website streamline reporting cleanup efforts. County highway crews gather the bagged materials for proper disposal. As part of the program, Wisconsin DOT furnishes safety vests, highway worker signs, a safety training video, trash bags, and 2 permanent signs identifying the group. Groups do not work in dangerous areas like medians, bridges, or steep slopes. Wisconsin DOT reminds drivers to buckle up, put the phone down, and follow speed limits on Wisconsin highways. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game 1 of their best-of-7 playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that.
But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high upper 50s. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid 50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with a VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news. And Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You could be.
Thanks for sticking around for hour two of today's encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Stay tuned for exciting updates on Civic Media's changing lineup. But for now, enjoy this.
A lingering conversation with regards to choice / voucher / charter. Call it what you want. Schools here in the state of Wisconsin. $500 million going towards that effort. We do have an election coming up April 1st for a new DPI secretary, right? Dr. Jill Underley right now is the superintendent. She'll be on the ballot against the person who makes money consulting to the voucher schools.
Indeed.
Now there's money in government money. Weird how that works out.
So strange.
855-752-4842. Mark, I see you there, but I do want to throw this one out there because I don't know. It's just like the radio god just put this one in my lap. Because this was not a topic. I got a whole page of notes here,
Maggie. No, we put together a full show. Dom comes rolling in and goes, hey, I heard Maggie talking about vouchers. You know, maybe we should hit on that.
It just I get going on it, man. It's a trigger point for me, obviously.
Just a little bit.
A little bit on this, and we'll take your calls. And I promise we'll move on. We got Doge updates. We got who is funding Brad Schimmel's election efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're
who is Susan Crawford, really?
Oh, who is she? Well, is Susan M or Susan P. Crawford? Who knows? A little baseball on that, but we'll just say the Cubs. So we'll put that one on the back burner as well. Some of the court cases going against Donald Trump and Doge and more as well. We'll get to it all. We promise. 855-752-4842. But to put a bow on the education conversation.
For now,
for this very moment. From the Raw Story, Republican state senator in Oklahoma fruitlessly raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools.
Huh? Can you read that again for me?
A Republican raged as his colleagues passed a bill to outlaw corporal punishment of disabled students in schools. Yeah, that's true. That's what it says.
Raged because his colleagues passed a bill outlawing, making it illegal to corporally punish, to beat disabled students.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
There's more to it.
Oh, goody.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
SB 364, introduced earlier this month by fellow Republican Senator David Rader, revives a long controversial issue that it has been frequently debated in the state legislature. As the bill was debated, Senator Shane Jett, one of the most outspoken opponents of the bill, told Rader that here's his grievance. The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture.
Huh.
The Bible sanctions corporal punishment and demanded to know how his legislation conforms with Scripture. I mean, doesn't the Bible sanction all sorts of things that probably are, I think, are illegal? Like if God tells you to...
There is actually a commandment in Torah that says that not only can you, but you must stone a rebellious child.
Must stone. So yeah. Hit them with rocks until they die.
That's right.
Now, can you use the sing rock, wriggle rock over and over, or do you have to, like, throw it? You got
I'm not sure.
See, I think there's a legit, like, there's a rule to stone. You got to dig a hole, you got to put them in it, and you got to, like, throw stuff at them. I'm not up on my stoning. I mean, these days it means something different
it means
for
something
me.
Very different.
It's like I'm going to Illinois or Detroit or something. But no, this is literally Republican Senator Saint Shane Jett. Hey, man, the Bible sanctions corporal punishment. How does this legislation conform with Scripture? Rader replied by quoting the Bible himself, leading to a lengthy religious argument on the floor of the Senate, according to the Oklahoma Political Observer Tyler Talley. Not all discipline needs to be one way, Rader said. Special needs students need special discipline. This says it won't be physical. But Jett, again, this is the righty, hard righty, who has repeatedly made the argument in the past, whenever the subject has come up for debate, wasn't convinced. He continued to call the bill a violation of Scripture, accused it of singling out schools that allowed parental consent for corporal punishment, and contained the measure and complained the measure was socialist.
Socialist.
If you can't.
Fellas, is it socialist to not subscribe to physical abuse?
Apparently it is. God wants physical abuse, according to this
guy, God also
Jett.
Doesn't want you to mix your fabrics.
Linens and wools. And don't even get me going on the shrimp. Mm-mm. Enjoy the shrimp cocktail.
tasty, little tasty, sea bugs.
Tasty bugs. Let's see what else here. A little bit more. In the end, Jett's opposition was pushed aside and the bill passed. The bill outlawing corporal punishment of special needs children passed 31-16. He's 16? Damn! Jett has previously attracted attention for other peculiar policy positions. He endorsed far-right state superintendent Ryan Walter's plan to put Trump-endorsed God Bless USA Bibles in the classroom and introduced legislation this year that would deregulate the production and sale of donkey milk without clarifying why he considered this necessary. Donkey milk? What? What? Oklahoma, yo, what's happening down there?
Y'all okay?
So, I mean, but, okay, so here's, and this is what, a religious argument on the debate on what's in Scripture and what that means. And it, to my position, it could mean whatever the hell you want it to mean because it's all about interpretation, right? You two people can read the same freaking thing and come out with their own religious belief to justify whatever act they want to take.
You know what, Dom? I taught my 7th graders that this past Sunday.
you should go to Oklahoma. I don't know. You might get stoned.
I might get stoned. Especially as a little lady.
That's right, you ladies. Uh-huh. You should smile more, Jess. So that's the education update here in this country. What? Come on. The Bible says you can do it. Why are we not doing it? That's the justification.
That's the justification.
And this is why we don't want religion in the classroom.
Or as a counter, let's have lots and lots and lots of religion in the classroom taught in an academic manner. And the fact that there is great diversity of belief and experience in this world, and that is fantastic. There are many different ways that people have found of making just the tiniest bit of sense in a crazy, crazy world. And let's not teach it in the form of this is how you become a practitioner. And we want you to become a practitioner of this very specific tradition.
And if you don't, the eternal hellfire and damnation for you.
Right.
Now go have your milk and sleep on your little mat for nap time. Come on, man. Listen, and I appreciate that from a cultural perspective. Sure, I get that. But my problem with that is what's the limiting factor? You know, because can it be taught as mythology? I mean, I remember taking, like, those kinds of classes.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right. So if you're going to lump it all in with that kind of thing. And
as world beliefs.
As world beliefs, certainly. And yeah. And those are, you know, culturally, people can and should be a well-rounded individual should at least know that those things are out there. I'm okay with that. Again, it depends on the context. If you're talking about world culture, you're talking about history, those kinds of things, sure. If you're talking about a matter, a practice of belief, a belief structure that they are going to try to get you to conform to, then that's certainly a different ask.
Yes.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There will be no corporal punishment on this show unless you ask nicely. 855-75-CIVIC. Real quick, before we get to the callers, this reminded me of a time when I was young. And it wasn't for me specifically, although I had, I was always kind of a sass, and that'll happen. But, you know, and I kind of got away with a lot of it, so, it didn't discourage the behavior. But I was a youngest of three, and I recall as a child, so I was 5 years behind my sister, who was the first, obviously, to go attend the private school at Xavier. And at that time, there were nuns, there were brothers, there were, obviously priests, and they literally had like a dean of discipline. This was a role that somebody had. This is the one, keeping all the kids in line. Well, apparently at one point, and, again, I was a child, and this is a long time ago, and I'm going off of memory here. My sister, who was also a little like me as well, my brother, I don't know where he came from, but my sister and I were the hell raisers. My brother, much, much less so, although he did it in his own way. She got into trouble when she was at school, and the dean of discipline smacked her across the face.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Dad got wind, did not like that. He we're 50 miles away from school. He was there in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And apparently there were conversations and apologies, and that never happened again. And I've always had the attitude, my kids can be, if they're sass, that's fine. Discipline them, put them in a corner, give them the timeout, that kind of thing. Don't ever lay hands on my kid, ever. Don't lay hands on anybody. Don't lay hands on me. Don't lay hands. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn what the circumstances is, what they said, what they do. If for some reason my child attacked you and you defend yourself, I can understand that perhaps. I mean, we all got the right to defend ourselves. But as a matter of discipline in an academic setting, to think that in some way, shape, or form that hitting my kid would ever be okay, that's not just not the world that I live in. And there would be some serious repercussions, as I'm sure there were. And to my understanding, nothing got physical when my father took exception to my sister getting literally slapped across the face at school.
Now, your sister, after that, did she develop any sort of deep affection for that school? Did she, come around and go, hey, this really is the path for me. This is what I want.
I to some degree, absolutely. I think she did. I think she enjoyed the experience. I enjoyed the experience. Okay. And by the time I got there, that position was eliminated. There was no longer a dean of discipline. And most of the brothers were on. There were just a few nuns left. It was a little bit more, teacher and academic-y versus religion. Although, there were religion classes. So that did not, to my interpretation and understanding, really impact how she viewed the rest of her school career, let's call it. But that was not acceptable, and she certainly didn't appreciate that, and my family certainly didn't appreciate that. And so when you folks down in Oklahoma think that that's okay, and that you think not only is corporal punishment okay, but corporal punishment with special needs children is okay, wow, maybe you should read that Bible you have. I thought there was something about love and effect and forgiveness in there.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Thanks for sticking around on this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here we're going to listen to Dom and Jess's continued conversation with their listeners about school vouchers and religion in school. Enjoy.
Appreciate the passion. Let's put it that way.
Certainly,
appreciate the
certainly.
Passion.
We love the engagement.
Lee, he points out he's from the Grove. Dom, we grew up in the same time, but I went to Appleton Public School, and I remember my second grade teacher handcuffing my quote-unquote out-of-control classmate to his desk. I don't think that's okay. Is that
no,
okay?
That's not
okay,
not.
Right? Can't do that, right? Can't do that?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's not okay. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
You know, what about, the ruler across the hand, right?
No.
If you write with your left hand, right? Oh, you can't do that. Swack with the ruler.
There is not a shred of evidence that beating someone will lead to genuine improved behavior.
You know the old saying, Jess, the beatings won't stop until morale improves. It's the all-time motivation. Well, and think about this for a minute. This world with this, again, it kind of goes back to what is the point, right?
Sure.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
What is liberty if you can be assaulted at will? Because some ancient book says it's okay to do so, or because perhaps a teacher thinks it's okay to do so, or a cop thinks it's okay to do so. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that go against your liberty.
Right. If you're into being smacked around a little bit, that's fine. Ask someone to do it.
Sure, right. I mean, consenting adults.
Consent.
Knock yourself out.
Have fun.
Go after it, man. Be your best you.
But with a child?
With a child. Yeah, beat the children. Beat the children, and special needs children, because, special needs children need special needs discipline, which apparently this guy wants it to be corporal punishment. You think special needs child's going to, hell, even a normal child, a non-special needs child is going to comprehend that, hey, you did something, so now you're going to get beat? What's the lesson there? We're going to teach
the
lessons.
The lesson there is if you don't do what someone wants, you will be hurt. You will be physically assaulted.
And therefore, why if that's the case, then, if someone doesn't do what I want, I can assault them.
Right. That is the lesson.
That's the lesson. And that's what we're getting away from. Listen, the history of the world, right, is written by the wealthy and the powerful and the oppression of the minorities, and the minorities being whatever it means. And you talk, as the atheists, you talk about religion sometimes on the show. The majority religion often subjugates the minority religion.
Indeed.
Happens all the time, even historically speaking, happens now. So when you're the minority in that, and it doesn't matter if you're a belief, if you're minority belief, you just think the majority belief gives a damn? They don't, not historically speaking. They certainly don't. If you're an atheist, if you're one like me, man, not so long ago, you'd be murdered. The church would kill you. Literally.
Well, you're a filthy heathen.
Wow, thank you very much. I took a shower today. I'm not totally filthy. I do get a little sweaty and, you know, my forehead greases up a bit when I get excited on this show. Yeah, filthy heathen. And what? Does not negate my right to exist on this earth. I didn't ask to be here. I don't know where I'm going when I'm dead. So,
in the ground.
In the ground. As far as that, I'm going to go right back where I came from. I don't know, but I do know at 53 years old and got a few miles on me that nobody else has a better beat on it than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly for me. You know, don't tell me you know for me. You don't know for yourself because I've been around. I read the books. I know. I got the miles. You got some insight? Don't give me that. And don't bring that trash to the classroom. Don't bring that trash to government. That's not how it's supposed to be. You got your faith, you got your belief, knock yourself out. How much of that faith and belief goes against the pursuit of life, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? If you have a belief in that, well, then how can you call yourself patriotic American?
Mm.
Kind of goes against that, doesn't it? 855-752-4842. Let's get some of the callers. Annie from Watertown, you are up. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
Geez, we're getting a little bit of an insight into what Jeff likes to do, huh?
Hey, no judging,
no judgment
Annie.
Here.
No judgment. This is a safe place.
Yeah. This whole thing is a bit traumatic when I think of what I put my son through by thinking I was doing a good thing by sending him to a community Lutheran school, which ended up, he was bullied to begin with. I mean, not an easy child, but I mean, they did him know. And it's like, well, that's what all the kids do to each other. When I approached about bullying, I was like, okay. But right. I like to make the comparison of, I guess, Democrats think people are smarter than they are. And maybe Jesus thought we were smarter than we are. A lot of stuff in the Bible expects us to be smarter than we are. Like the eye of the needle is not a sewing needle. And also sheep. I don't know if he mentioned where the Bible says he can beat your kids, but if he's using the rod.
Yes. Spare the rod, spoil the child, something like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were shepherds. They didn't use the rod to beat the sheep. They used the rod to guide them.
Guiding. Well, guide him to do what we tell him to do, Annie. Otherwise, they get an ass beating. Thank you.
That is exactly the point she wasn't making,
okay,
Dom.
Okay. To guide them, not to beat them, not to do that.
Right.
There is a representative from the great state of Wisconsin. His name is Shay Sortwell. He is up in the Green Bay area. And I remember this cat because when we were down, protesting during COVID, putting up the Christmas tree right next to the Republicans, they came over and stole our garland and we all got in trouble, got a ticket mailed to us. And anyway, I got in a little conversation with him. Hey, you guys are out here doing COVID, singing your songs. And I'll give him a dose. Like, what'd you do last week?
You know what I mean? Give me 5 bullet points.
And it came out in the news that he had apparently disciplined his children and had a similar got in the news. And some charges were apparently never dropped or whatever the case. But there was a news situation with that. And that was the spare the rod, spoil the child defense, if I recall correctly. But you can Google it. Come back with us. Also, folks, end of the day, tell us something good.
There's more where that came from coming up next on the Encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local civic media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and Conservation Partners are encouraging novice hunters who want to learn about bear hunting in Wisconsin to apply for the Learn to Hunt Bear program. The Learn to Hunt Bear program is intended to promote awareness and understanding of bear hunting in Wisconsin, particularly for those who are interested in hunting bear on their own in the future. The program includes multiple classroom and field sessions, culminating with a bear hunting experience. Participants will learn about bear biology, population management, habits, habitat, hunting techniques, regulations, and safety. Anyone who has not previously participated in the Learn to Hunt Bear program or received a bear harvest authorization is encouraged to apply. Participants must be at least 10 years old, and there is no maximum age. The number of Learn to Hunt Bear programs offered varies annually and will influence the number of participants selected. Applicants will be notified of the status of their application by June 1st. Interested participants should complete the online application by May 1st. The application program guidelines and more information can be found on the DNR's Learn to Hunt Bear webpage. The DNR is also looking for experienced bear hunters interested in becoming Learn to Hunt Bear program instructors. Potential instructors need at least 5 years of bear hunting experience and must consent to a background check. Interested volunteers should notify Emily Isle, DNR Hunting and Shooting Sports Program Specialist, at emily.ihl@wisconsin.gov by tomorrow. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, maybe a shower tonight, a low in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high upper 50s. Increasing clouds Sunday, showers developing, high temperatures in the mid 50s. Showers continue Sunday night and linger on into Monday morning. Currently it's 59 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm dedicating this episode to you, the listeners. Your voices matter, and I want to hear how significantly we influence your lives.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
I swear to God,
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for sticking around for this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here we continue Dom's discussion about religion in schools and how some politicians use it as an excuse for corporal punishment. Gross.
But I want to just throw this out, this corporal punishment issue. We talked about these state legislators in Oklahoma. Really mad.
So mad.
So mad that they outlawed corporal punishment on special needs children.
My God, what are we going to do?
So in his defense, now it passed 30-something to, like, 12. I mean, so some folks are down for it.
Who are the 11 others? You're right. We're like, no, you know what? We need to keep this law around. We got to be able to beat these kids.
Yes, beat them into submission. The beatings won't stop until morale improves. I brought up Wisconsin State Rep Shay Sortwell. He is currently in the Wisconsin legislature. He's from the 2nd Assembly District. And I remember this cat because we kind of jawboned at each other a little bit when COVID was on and they closed the Capitol down. And they invited a bunch of maskless Republicans, invited a bunch of people to come sing their Christmas carols at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And so we brought a tree in and kind of busted chops a little bit because why not?
Why not?
And Shay was there, and I was, you know, inquiring as to what exactly he's getting done for those Wisconsin citizens. Mm-hmm. And he said, and his remark to me was, "This is for the Wisconsin, my constituents," because he was going to be singing songs. but to that point, and we talked about corporal punishment, and I found my resource, my article here from the Green Bay Press Gazette. And we'll move on the topics, but I want to throw this out there. So you know, this isn't coming out of my mouth. Wisconsin legislator Shay Sortwell was referred for felony child abuse in 2013 before elected, but was never charged. Lawmaker said he used an object to punish his child as the Bible instructed. He now sits on the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Let's see here.
Not a great look.
Police investigation took place in January of 2013 before Sortwell was elected to the Assembly, but he was then active in state and national politics, served on the Green Bay City Council. Police were made aware of the alleged abuse after a relative discovered 5 bruises while giving the child a bath. A relative took the child to a hospital in Two Rivers, according to a 35 pages of documents obtained by the Press Gazette through an open records request with the Green Bay Police Department. Sortwell told police the Bible was, quote, very specific about corporal punishment, and loosely quoted a verse from Proverbs, "Whoever spares the rod hates their child," according to the police reports. Now, of course, now a member of the Assembly's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee told police he and his wife disciplined the child with an object rather than their hands, because hands are for loving. And he said if they were not using corporal punishment, they were not loving their child because they're not teaching what needs to be taught, the police report said.
Physical abuse needs to be taught?
Oh, it gets better.
Oh.
Sortwell explained to investigators that he or his wife typically struck the child twice whenever the child was being defiant, then would hug the child and sometimes give the child a Rice Krispies treat. After striking their child, neither parent made the practice of checking for injuries, the police report said. Think about that for a minute.
Didn't make a practice of checking for injury.
Yeah. Sortwell estimated the most recent time he struck the child was 3 days before the child was brought to the hospital with still visible marks, according to the
police
report. 3 days.
And we still have bruises. We have bruises.
3 days later. After a 4-day investigation involving 4 police officers, 2 social workers, a child forensics officer, a trained agent to interview child victims of physical and sexual abuse, a child advocacy member, and a nurse practitioner, police recommended a felony child abuse charge against Sortwell and a felony charge of failure to act to prevent bodily harm against his wife. Both charges carry a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison. Now, the deputy DA, Dana Johnson, wrote in a September 15 letter to the Green Bay Police Department that he was unable to prove Sortwell's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and then he had to take into consideration, quote, the defense of parent using reasonable force to discipline the child. Johnson also declined to charge Sortwell's wife. Now, they avoided criminal prosecution while the Brown County Prosecutor's Office was filing child abuse charges against other defendants in similar cases around the same time, with all of those cases leading to convictions. So put that one in the show notes. Statement from Sortwell released by the police department blames the incident on a disgruntled family member. Yeah, maybe people don't like it when you're beating the kid you know, 3 days later still has marks on their body. And the discipline, hitting twice with an object and then giving a hug and then maybe a Rice Krispie treat. Yeah. Public safety elected in the Wisconsin state capital right now. Yeah, the best of the best of the best. But, you know, the Bible. So, you know, it's totally fine. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
You just blew me out of the way with that one right there. I mean, it
just, you didn't know that one. Yeah, man. This guy's a hoot.
Maybe I forgot. Maybe I heard about it and just kind of put it in my memory hole, but it just horrific.
Yeah.
I mean, that he gets away with it because he had connections and other people, you know, actually got convictions for that kind of thing. Getting back to the education thing, part of it makes me think of this whole thing for the segregation of schools and all that. Links back to the whole, in the antebellum South, it was actually illegal to teach slaves and, you know, black people to read.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole separate be equal. The schools were never equal. The schools still are not equal. I mean, we have the money, resources available to make all our schools a hell of a lot better, and we should be doing that rather than funneling money off to the religious schools, which some of our founders would have vetoed that kind of legislation. I mean, James Madison repeatedly vetoed bills when they were talking about, you know, providing funding for religious institutions.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted some of his veto messages on that, why he said it shouldn't be happening because he said it was a violation of the establishment law.
It was. Mark, and thanks for the call, man. Appreciate your input always. You know, some of these things seemed like, that's just how it is. It's set in stone. And then all of a sudden, another judge or a Supreme Court, someone comes in and rolls that thing over and upends what we would consider to be quote-unquote normal. And I think, you know, how do we interpret? What's our baseline? What is the baseline? Well, again, it's got to go back to our founding documents. What is the point of our existence? I mean, we all come from different places, and I don't care what you say. None of us has to be here, and I don't care what you say. None of y'all know where you're going when you close your eyes and take that last breath. None of you. I know you got. That's why they call it faith. You're hoping. Mm-hmm. You're hoping beyond hope that it's paradise awaits. I know you're thinking that, but you don't know. That's why they call it faith. It's not knowledge. It's faith. And that's okay, but what are our least common factors that bind us together? Well, it is certainly our existence on this rock hurling through space, right? Here we are all together, whether we like it or not. Here we are, and then what do we respect for individuals? Do we have that sense of liberty, right? Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. How who's against that? Who's against a person's right to live, to exist? Is anybody? Who's against a person having their liberty, exercising their liberty, their freedoms? Who is against that? Who is against the pursuit of happiness? Oh, my God. What kind of sadist are you? Who's against pursuing happiness? These are our base most common factor, or least common factors that unite us all. We all bleed red. You know, we all breathe oxygen. We're all born. We're all going to die. So how do we make this thing work? And in recent times, yes, historically recent times, given the time of humankind on this earth, we've decided, hey, this is what's important to us. This is what we reject: an absolute monarchy. We reject an absolute religion.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we do. We reject those things.
And it really is a very radically new idea.
It is. It absolutely is. I mean, the authoritarian, the biggest sword, the biggest gun, the biggest person, you know, whatever the case was, you know, I mean, what was the Colt 45 was a great equalizer. You know, little guys like me all of a sudden can defend yourself. This is our least common factor. And I think when we talk about these very difficult, situations, politically, worldwide, all these things. I think it goes, put yourself in the position of how does this impact life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I mean, where else do we go if not to that? Because everyone's got different faith. Everyone's got different ideas. But do you, when you are out there and you're espousing your megaism, are you reflecting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Are you trying to subjugate people to your ideas? I'm an atheist. I don't buy any of that stuff. But you know what I'm not doing? I'm not making you believe that. That's up to you. I'm not gay. I'm not black. I'm not trans. But everyone has that right to exist, to do them for their life and their liberty and their pursuit of happiness. Doesn't have to conform to whatever you were brought up in. Expand your mind, man. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you are not pursuing those goals, if your politics, if your belief structure, if your culture does not embrace life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I question, then what is your motivation? What are you doing? To what point? To what end? To make people believe how you want to believe? To force that upon people? To subjugate people to your will? Well, that goes against everything that we have been trying to do in relatively recent history on this earth as we hurl through space. And the good news is I saw a headline that asteroid that had a 3% chance that apparently it's not gonna happen now.
A little bit of disappointment, I have to say. Just the tiniest bit.
I thought maybe it's our way out, baby. Finally. 855-752-4842. Put it in that context. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I know you, Megas. I know you, Republicans. I know you got to believe that. You got to believe that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How do you not? And go from there. The freedom of religion, freedom from religion, you know, pick your term. You got a right to it. Knock yourself out. But you don't have the right to force it on us. You don't have the right to take taxpayer dollars out of the till for your indoctrination. You want to do that? Pay for it on your own.
Right.
Like everybody else did until this little concept came up, until the blacks and the whites had to start going to school together. Come on. 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us today?
Hey, how you doing, Dom? Hey,
awesome, man.
Parochial school. Yeah, I went to parochial school, and I had one teacher, you better sit up straight in class, and there was a paddle up there. And so,
the paddle.
I'll tell you this. Nobody messed around in this class. That was a parochial school, and it didn't help me any.
No, man. No doubt.
Hey, I got one quick thing. Mm-hmm. If the Republicans mess with Medicaid, I know a little bit about it because I drive people around. That'll be the last thing they'll do because even the gerrymandering districts are going to lose. And I got two good things about Trump that I like about Trump today very quickly. One, he wants to get rid of the penny. I hate the penny, Dom. I hate it.
Oh, so man, a penny for your thing. Thoughts, man. What's wrong with the penny?
I'm gone, man. I hate him. That's why I use charge cards. And the other thing is he wants to do away with turning the clock back. That's another thing. So
I'm good with both
two
of those.
Two good things I like.
All right.
I'll go with those two things. That's it. There's
all right, Paulie.
Yeah,
we can. I'm down with the stopping of the time change thing. I mean, I'm
stupid.
That's so dumb. The penny thing, I'm not convinced yet. I'm not sure what the economic.
It costs like 3 cents to make one penny.
But how much does it take to make a nickel?
Less. It's less. It's because of the copper.
Oh, see, copper. Folks, this is a Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We're going to come back. Tell us something good. We love something good. We got a little toast from Harvey K to Thomas Paine.
And we're going to get to it this time.
We swear we're going to start with that. And the corporal punishment, Paulie, didn't work for me either. You know, my parents tried. That didn't work, so why even bother? Come back with us. Something good coming up next.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no-excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
We all running in the same race. Ain't nobody winning. We only here for a minute, yeah. So everybody slow down.
Life is beautiful. Let's all take a moment now. Let's just try to breathe it in.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Life is beautiful.
Welcome to the final segment of today's encore edition of the Dom Salvia Show. Here are Dom and Jess taking calls from that day, talking about something good to make us feel better. Enjoy.
Let's see. We got a couple here that Jess pointed out. Thank you, Jess. Troy from Mount Horeb said, enough with the religion bashing. I'm going to music. See you tomorrow. And then Jennifer followed up directly after that. Hi, Dom and Jess. Something good? Dom's spirited discussion of organized religion. It was cathartic to just listen to.
Proof right there that it's okay to have different opinions and experiences and views about the world.
Of course, of course.
And we welcome y'all.
We do welcome y'all. And those of faith as well. Listen, Troy, I think your religious privilege might be shining through. I've said it over and over again. It's up to you. Knock yourself out. You have your right. I got my right. You know, a couple things I don't want. I don't want anybody, no matter what religion it is, to be trying to force that upon me or my children. I certainly don't want us using our tax dollars in doing so. Now, that being said, you have the right to worship whatever the hell you want. That's the whole point. That's part of that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness part, man.
Yeah. I mean that's
okay.
I'm a religious woman.
You are, I know, and I'm not.
Not only that, I teach religion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. But it's not in a public setting.
Oh, you're not getting paid by DPI to
No, I'm no, not. No. I'm really okay. not. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. no, no. Parents actually choose to
yes.
send their children to get
them.
Some supplemental education in the Jewish faith and practices and traditions. And so that's what we do.
And that's what you do.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I encourage that. If that's what you're into, do it. Knock yourself out, Troy, Jess, whatever. But here's the thing. Just don't use our tax dollars to do it. See
right.
what I'm saying? And oh yeah. And don't use that to justify, like, you know, beating people.
Right.
Just
right.
saying. All right. Harvey K., our pal Harvey K., you know he loves himself some Thomas Paine. While he was down in Florida, he'll be back next week. He's filling in. He's joining Jess here while I'm going to be in Florida. We're going to miss Harvey by one day. He's down at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine's 288th birthday party. And Harvey gave the toast, and he mm-hmm. has shared that with us, and we want to share it with you because we love us some Harvey, and we love us some Tom Paine. So let's hear it, Jess.
I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida.
In fact, I've been down here for quite a few days, fortunately escaping the worst of the weather in Wisconsin. I'm here to deliver the toast tonight at the Thomas Paine Party, sponsored every year by Florida Veterans for Common Sense, a progressive veterans group originally made up of World War II veterans all the way through to Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, mostly led, was originally founded, in fact, by Vietnam-era veterans. So tonight is the big night, and they expect usually a good crowd of 100 to 150 people, so it'll be all the more exciting. Here's my toast for those of you who obviously are not down here and able to hear it directly. In December 1776, during the darkest days of the Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote the first of his American crisis papers. Following devastating defeats by British forces in Brooklyn and Manhattan, George Washington and the Continental Army were retreating across New Jersey to the Delaware River and Pennsylvania. Paine rode with them, determined to continue the fight and defiantly reaffirming his disgust for Great Britain's King George III. This is what he wrote. "Let them call me rebel. I feel no concern from it, but I should suffer the misery of devils were I to make a whore of my soul by swearing allegiance to one whose character is that of a sottish, stupid, stubborn, worthless, brutish man. The greatest writer of the Revolution knew how to call out the enemy." Only 11 months earlier, Paine had published Common Sense, a pamphlet of just 50 pages that would turn the world upside down, calling on Americans to recognize that they were Americans, not Britons, and that they were fighting not for British rights, but for human rights. Paine, through words such as, "The sun never shined on a cause of greater worth," and "We have it in our power to begin the world over again," emboldened his fellow citizens to turn their colonial rebellion into a revolutionary war for not only independence, but also the making of a democratic republic. Now, however, it seemed America's cause would collapse on the frozen fields of Tory-dominated New Jersey. But encouraged by General Washington himself, Paine began to write again, and on a drumhead by campfire light, he penned words that would reinvigorate the struggle and resound through the generations. "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." So here we are today, just 17 months away from the 250th anniversary of the United States of America. And now we face our own times that try men's and women's souls. Sadly, we do not yet have our own Thomas Paine, but we do have his words to inspire and encourage us. Indeed, let them call us rebels, for we are all the heirs of Paine. And in that spirit, let us raise our glasses and drink both to the greatest revolutionary of a revolutionary age, Thomas Paine, and to those who are neither summer soldiers nor sunshine patriots, the men and women of Florida Veterans for Common Sense.
Wow. Harvey K., our friend, giving the toast at the Florida Veterans for Common Sense, Tom Paine, 288th birthday party. Cam, I can give you 30 seconds. Tell us something good, man.
Hey, I made a new friend by walking around out in the woods, and I was expecting to go and hang out with them after work a couple days ago. Sorry, I'm talking quiet. I have to whisper, otherwise she'll hear me. But the new friend, he was expected to show up for one of the visits, and instead I fell into a trap that this older lady put set up, and she ended up bringing me to her home, and usually I would want to escape, but she's been making me some pretty good food.
Cam, thank you for sharing. Have a great night, folks. I'm off to Florida. Jess P.S. going to be covering for me. Matt Rothschild, James Santel. Now stick around. It is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Have a great week. Everybody's so down.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans. and they help me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After landing from El Salvador, Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen giving an update on his meeting with Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly deported to a detention center. The White House says it cannot bring him back despite court rulings. Van Hollen says President Trump is denying Abrego Garcia due process. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
Van Hollen specifically said when he was talking about this, he says this case is not only about one man. As important as that is, it is about protecting fundamental freedoms and the fundamental principle in the Constitution for due process that protects everyone who resides in America.
A day after a gunman opened fire at Florida State University, a vigil taking place on campus tonight for victims. Two people were killed, six others injured. Police say the motive is still unknown. At the Colosseum in Rome, Christians participated in the Way of the Cross procession, part of the somber services on this Good Friday. This is ABC News.
You can always